Chapter 1. Saturday, the 6th of May, 2017. Nia sat out on the deck, huddled in her seat, the sea breeze cold on her face, surrounded by excited children and harassed parents, holidaymakers heading to the island. Although she was aware of their shouts competing with the gulls screaming above her, the smell of the sea mingled with the ferry's engine that was chugging, she felt strangely detached. Her phone pinged a message. It was from her husband, Chris.
"Glad the car is sorted. Safe travels. Miss you already."
Nia stared at her phone. When her aunt, Gwen, had suggested she come and house-sit for a month, Nia had initially turned it down. The idea of going away on her own filled her with dread. In her 20 years of marriage, apart from the occasional night away, she'd always been with Chris. In any case, surely nothing could be solved by running away from her problems. However, Chris had agreed, in fact encouraged her, and she'd reluctantly said she'd go. And so she was sitting on the ferry with her dog, Romeo, and as much luggage as she could manage on her own. Nia leant forward, rested her chin on the head of her cocker spaniel, stroked his soft orange-white ears. "It's me and you, Romeo. Just the two of us now." She looked ahead, and slowly the island came more sharply into focus, and she could see the town of Yarmouth and the harbour, shaped like a horseshoe, its arms waiting to embrace and welcome her. "This is going to be our new home for a while," she said to Romeo. "Gwen said we'd enjoy the beaches and downs. We have a whole new island to explore." There was something exciting about visiting an island, she had to admit. There were no bridges or tunnels between this island, the Isle of Wight, and the mainland. The only way to get here was by boat. If the weather was really bad, she could get completely cut off. And actually, Nia found the idea rather appealing. An announcement echoed around the ferry, summoning passengers to prepare to leave. Nia quickly took out her makeup bag, checked her lashes, touched up her lipstick, and smoothed down her black hair held tightly in a bun. She threw her rucksack onto her back, another bag over her shoulder, and picked up the handle of her wheeled suitcase with one hand, the lead in her other. The plan had been to bring her car, but nothing in her life was going to plan lately. She let others rushing to cars and coaches go ahead of her, and then gingerly made her way to the lift. Nia had quickly researched the town, described as cosy, the town time forgot, with narrow streets leading to a square with a town hall, church, pubs, cafes, and a small independent business. However, today it was very busy, as cars streamed off the ferry, rows of cars queued to go on, and in the town, people spilled onto the road from the narrow pavements. From Gwen's directions, Nia knew she didn't have far to walk, and soon she arrived at Harbour Close. White, neat, clean terraced houses, tulips and daffodils standing proudly in the pots, safe and snug as a cat lying in the sunshine. Taking a deep breath of sea air, laced with Mediterranean smells of fish, garlic and coffee, she could feel her shoulders drop, her jaw relax. Gwen's house was one of the first buildings on her left. Neat box hedges in planters stood either side of the light blue front door. Even though Nia knew Gwen had only left the day before, it had the air of a house that had been abandoned. Gwen was hundreds of miles away now in San Francisco with her daughter. Nia missed her, wished Gwen had been there. A hug and some home baking were exactly what she needed right now. But she had to get on. Gwen had told her to pick up the house keys from the hairdresser's opposite. Nia had smiled at that. It seemed like a sign. Nia went over to Gems, but hesitated at the front door. It didn't have the edge of the grey and stone salon she used to work in back in Cardiff, but it was freshly painted, with neat bay trees standing guard either side of the front door. Glancing through the large windows, she saw it was free from old-fashioned posters favoured by more traditional salons in villages around the country. Nia glanced at her reflection in the window, checked her hair again, tucked a stray strand behind her ear. Satisfied, she dumped her cases outside the salon in a way she'd have probably thought twice about back home, and went in with Romeo. Music from a local radio station played. Two hairdressers were working with clients. The smell of hair products, the gentle buzz, mirrors, gowns, flooded her with a deep sense of loss and reminded her of the clients and their families she'd left behind. "Can I help you?" asked the woman with short, dyed white blonde hair, fashionable joggers and trainers who came over to her, smiling. She swallowed hard. "I'm Nia. I've come for the keys to my Aunt Gwen's house." Suddenly she looked down at Romeo. "Oh, sorry. I didn't want to leave him outside." "That's okay. Hello, sweetie. We love dogs, don't we?" Nia heard a gentle burr to the young woman's voice. She grinned at Nia. "I'm Jade." She nodded towards the other hairdresser. "That's my sister Ruby." Ruby gave a cursory smile, but went back to cutting her client's hair. She looked a lot less fashionable than her sister, wearing a cotton-flowered skirt and plain blouse, no makeup. However, she did have the most beautiful long blonde hair, falling like liquid sunshine, almost reaching her waist. "I live in the flat above the salon," continued Jade. "Ruby's further up the close with her husband Richie at the art gallery. We are all under strict instructions from Gwen to make you feel at home." Jade glanced out of the window at the abandoned luggage. "You've got a lot of stuff. Didn't you bring a car over?" "It was awful. My car broke down as I was going to drive onto the ferry."
"Oh, God, no. What did you do?"
Jade crossed her arms, leant on a shelf, ready to listen. "Well, my car was towed off to a garage in Southampton. I'll pick it up when it's fixed."
"Sorry, I don't want to hold you up,"
said Nia, looking over at the client sitting in the chair. However, she was philosophically scrolling through her phone. Jade grinned.
"Don't worry. You know, you are ever so like Gwen, what with that gorgeous Welsh accent and the black hair. You'd think you were her daughter."
Nia blushed.
"Thank you. People often say that. I found it really hard when she left Cardiff." "I can imagine. She's settled in really well here. We're all very fond of her. I'd love to fly off to America, but not in a panic like Gwen."
"I know, but of course her daughter Kerry needs her. The baby is not due for another 2 weeks, but Kerry is finding it hard going. She was desperate for Gwen to go out as soon as she could."
"Kerry is lucky to have a mum like Gwen. You must let us know if you get any news."
Jade glanced around the room with a mixture of humility and pride. "Gwen said you used to be a hairdresser. I'm sure your salon in Cardiff was a lot posher than this."
"It's larger, but this is great."
"Thank you. So, this is your first visit to the island. You'll have a good time, and so will this chap." Jade stroked Romeo's head.
"Right, I'd better get you those keys."
Jade disappeared to the back of the salon, and Nia looked around again. Unusually, among the display of the sponsored hair products they sold, there was a selection of candles, red, white and green, in beautiful shapes. She was looking at them when Jade returned.
"I make those," she explained. "They are made of soya wax, all vegan if you're interested."
She handed Nia the keys.
"That's the front door, back, windows and the garage. Do you need help? I can come over with you."
"I'll be fine. Thank you for the offer, though," replied Nia and left. Feeling rather like an intruder, Nia opened Gwen's front door. This opened directly into the living room, which contained enough furniture, books and general clutter for a room three times its size. Nia pictured her house back in Cardiff, a modern, minimalist executive home. They'd moved in 10 years ago. It was Chris's dream house. She smiled as she looked around and had to admit this was more her style. Nia opened the back door and held Romeo's collar as she checked for good, strong fences all round. It was a modest-sized garden, scruffy borders, a few small trees. To her left was the wall of the building that faced out onto the main road, to her right a lower fence that separated her from the neighbour's garden, and down the bottom a high wall that gave them privacy from the street. All was secure or high enough to keep Romeo in, and so she let him go and he rushed around, sniffing his new territory. Leaving Romeo to explore the garden, Nia returned to the kitchen. As she expected, this was far more organised than the living room. Gwen loved to bake. Nia went upstairs. The main bedroom faced the street. There was the same mixture of furniture, but she did find space had been made in drawers for her things, as well as half the wardrobe emptied. Nia started to unpack. She couldn't bear things in cases. As she hung up her pencil skirts, bodycon dresses, tight jeans and neat blouses, she saw the contrast with the riotous skirts and tops that still hung there. She smiled. There was a time when she'd worn clothes like those, but the neat, smart clothes she wore now were ones Chris liked, and she guessed slowly she'd changed her wardrobe to suit him. She arranged her shoes, 3 pairs of heels, 1 pair of old trainers, the only casual shoes she had for walking Romeo, and a pair of Wellington boots. Chris liked her to wear heels, and so even in a job where she was on her feet all day, she had grown used to wearing them most of the time. Deciding she had to somehow make this place feel like her own, Nia took down an old suitcase from the wardrobe and started to fill it with stuff from around the room. Then set out her own few expensive cosmetics, a book and torch next to her bed. She took out her nightie. But as she did, she held it close to her face. It smelt of home. Of him. Tears burned her eyes. She was here, alone. She tried to remember when she'd last spent a night on her own. Nia had not been on a holiday without Chris for the 20 years of their married life. The most they had ever been apart was when she'd gone away with Safi for the odd night, or to visit her parents. But as for doing things entirely on her own, well, she couldn't remember ever staying alone in a hotel. She'd not even eaten in a restaurant or cafe on her own for years either. Shaking off the sadness, Nia went downstairs to be greeted by Romeo running in from the garden. She opened one of the bags she'd brought, took out a bowl, filled it with water, and put it on the kitchen floor. Nia looked in the remaining bags. She'd had to leave a load of things in the car, including Romeo's bed, with her own bedding as they were too bulky to carry. "Me and you are going to make do and mend, as Mum would say, for a week," she said to Romeo. "Don't worry, I have your food and poo bags and soft piggy." Nia then spotted a note. As she started to read, she realised Gwen wrote as she talked, and she could hear her voice, each word coated with her smooth, warm tones. "Welcome. Make sure you treat this house as your own home. The appliances are all pretty self-explanatory. I've written a list of the boring stuff like bin days, etc., and left food basics in the fridge. I hope it helps you to have some time to yourself. Look after yourself. I will try to keep in touch, but what with the time difference, it won't always be that easy. Email me if there are any problems. There are lots of walks and places to visit. I promise you the island will look after you. You can breathe here, I think. It's a magical place. On one of the bookshelves is a file where I jot down some walks. You might like to look at it sometime. Just one thing. If you get a chance to befriend Ruby from the hairdresser, I'd be grateful. I've mentioned her to you a few times as I knew her mum. I am sure there is something wrong. She seems very down. Maybe as an outsider you may be able to see things that have evaded me. The main thing, however, is for you to look after yourself. Take care. Gwen. Kiss, 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 kiss." Nia thought about Ruby and her sister over at the hairdresser's. She wasn't sure how she was going to get to know Ruby. She looked quite shy. In fact, she wasn't sure how she was going to get to know anyone here, and guessed she was going to be spending a lot of time on her own. However, she couldn't have been more wrong. And at that moment, she heard a knock at the door.